Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. And paradigm shifting is a big job these days. It's helping people break out of ways of thinking, and it's becoming, much more expanded in our thinking and touching our deep personal love and love of the world and love of the planet. My guest today is a purveyor of this kind of learning. He's a purveyor of consciousness, and he's from India originally, but is now hosting huge transformations in people, mostly out of, I believe, California. But welcome to the show, Nandaji.
Thank you. It's my honor to be here. Grateful for you having me here.
Oh, I'm just delighted to speak with you. You have, Nandaji has some wonderful YouTubes and some books and some music and so much to teach us all. And one of the things that I read on the cover of your book was that you're encouraging people to become their own gurus. Can you explain to us what exactly that means?
Yes, this has been a quest, the quest for God, the quest for that superior power, the quest for that infinity has been within each one of us in seeking. And most of us, we walk through a journey seeking for it from all the external perspectives. But ultimately, all the gurus, all the scriptures, all the masters, our own inner wisdom points us to the light within each one of us. And once this light is awake within each one of us, then every breath of ours now is in tune with that light. And breath is the mother to thought. So from here, when our breath itself has been surrendered to that innermost light, now our own innate wisdom wakes up. We are the guru. We are the inner guru awake. And the word guru itself is a deeper word. The guru really means our own mind is our guru. That's the first. Then
I thought guru means someone who brings you the light.
I look into guru as, different. Yeah, of course. What you say is absolutely right. The guru brings you, awakens you to your own light. But I look into it as there are five different dimensions of gurus.
Okay.
The first is our own breath. Our left breath and our right breath is a guru. Then our mother and father who birthed us, they are our guru. And why we need to be aware of them as a guru is to be able to feel the essence of gratitude and gratefulness for the love we received and for each cell within our body tied in to our mother and father who birthed us. So that's another guru. And then all the external gurus, like for instance, we read the Bible, there's Christ the guru. All the beings who showed us the way, they are the external gurus. And they all have one purpose, to wake up our inner guru, the guru within, the light within.
And is that now, the divinity the within? Would you say also it's...
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And once the inner guru is awake, now every reality has become the guru. In other words, we are now on a pathway where we are seeing every aspect of creation as love, as light.
Ah. And actually speaking with you is delightful in that I can, and delightful is an interesting word given what you just said, but I can feel the expanse of your heart. And I'm like, oh, that's a wonderful evidence of you're touching your own light, really.
And, thank you, Divine One. But see, every one of us have it within us. And, we go through life being taken from one end to another end so we can learn that which has always been within us, that which has been waiting for us to, waiting for the call. Hey, God, where are you?
Mm-hmm. And actually, don't you notice, too, that there's so much angst? People seek God and gurus and so on, often in a very deep kind of quest, a deep angst, a deep pain that wants that, right?
Mm-hmm. There is the polarity that always works. Like, for instance, when where there's sorrow, there is going to be the wisdom. Likewise. So most times it's when, this is another thing with which every human is inflicted with, and that is the mind going up and down. There's the mind that makes us happy, there's the mind that makes us sad, maybe for a reality, maybe there's no reality around it, but the mind goes up and down. And these down moments is when the mind is really ready to go inward. In other words, it's the, when we are depressed, when you are sad, in reality, that mind is an asset. Because that is the mind that can take us inward to touch base and connect with our innermost higher self.
It's hard
So,
to go in through depression, though, isn't it?
depression means that we are not happy. The mind is not happy. The mind does not is not optimistic. It is gone in, and so, but then you could think of this sort of mind as, if you can think of this mind as an asset, saying, "Wow, I have an inner mind. Now I can ride it all the way inside myself." Now we could take it to the next level, saying, "Okay, if my reality is that lousy, that bad, can I perhaps give up my own breath, which I think is my life?" So this is where, there is a way in which human reality of challenges and challenges and threats and areas where we feel really bad and hurt and sorrowful can be taken inward to attain true breath, to attain the breathless breath, to understand that we are all eternal beings. We are that light within that shines through each of us. And any sorrow, anything that we are witnessing in our realities, has been given to teach us the larger vision behind it, the exact polarity behind it. For instance, the sorrow that could lead to wisdom.
Well,
Likewise.
let's go back to who you are. First of all, were you born awakened into the light in yourself? What was the route that took you to becoming more and more conscious and more in the role of someone who can teach us how to find our light, or, who can see the light in people? How did you start out?
Yes, I remember, I had a childhood experience when I was 4.5 years old, and at that time we got lost in a forest, and this was a pilgrimage, and I could still remember how scared. I still remember that scary edge of that roar of a tiger, because this was a tiger. This was a tiger. This was a forest that had many tigers,
Wow.
and.
Most of us
And
don't experience tigers in our lives.
I know, and no, but this was when I was so little. So I'm surprised. I do remember two things in that incident, and that was the fear around all of us, and everyone chanting the name. And then suddenly, I was sitting on my dad's shoulders, and I remember seeing this being, illuminate being, and this was on a new moon night. And it was pitch dark, and this luminous being comes forward with a smile on his face, saying, "I think you guys have lost the way. I think you guys have lost the way. This is the way," and points out to us and tells us. And then we turn around; he's no more there. But that being over there, I took him as my personal friend. So all the way through my childhood,
Wonderful.
I think I had a normal childhood, but I was a lonely guy. I felt so depressingly lonely. I was longing for something. I would run to the forest hoping I could find something of me over there in the forest that was making me feel so lonely. And I would hold my breath and wait, and then that being will come. That same being who guided us, then he would come, and I began to trust that inner self of mine to allow me to talk, to allow me the wisdom of God. So, however, I realized when I was so confident about it, I started writing a book called God when I was 14 years old.
Oh, great.
And I couldn't do much on that because I needed first-hand experience because I was reaching a wall, and that wall was saying I needed that actual experience. So much later, I go to England. I did my studies. I went to England to do my MBA. I came back, and I was overambitious, and that's when I felt my death coming for me. And it's funny enough when you say near, your book says near life experience, which is beautiful because it really works with that in reality. Because at that time, my guru comes to me, and that's the first time I'm meeting this guru, meeting my guru. And it was, in the morning before, I heard a call in my mind saying, "I'm coming for you." And that evening, I opened the door, and my guru, the first time I'm meeting him, he had fire in his eyes, and he said, "Lord Shiva has sent me to take you. You have death coming for you. Are
Wow.
you
Were
willing
you
to come?
afraid?
Are you willing to come?" I said, "No, I've been waiting for you all my life. I'm
Oh.
all yours." And so he took me to the forest and took me through several, when you say death experiences, I was having it differently. I was having it like I was seeing the death of every single life of mine. And at that time, I was understanding what my karma of that life was. It was not a pleasant experience. It was like a painful, painful experience. And as I was being taken more and more into all my past, I could see a blue, beautiful light inside me. And that light, I knew, I could feel, what had a reassuring calm, harmony, and love of the same being whom I had met when I was 4 years old, four and
Wow.
a half. And then this light started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, a little blue color. And soon I realized, oh my God, that's me. This is my soul. This is whom I am, that light within me. And then I realized that I was inside this body. And what was funny was, 10 days later, I was to get married. I was getting married to my ex-wife, and that evening, she screams, saying, "This is not you. This is not you. This is someone else." But I realized that someone else was actually me. And then I realized I was in a state of joy. I was so happy, and that happiness was for, I could say, one of the prime reasons why I was happy was I was free. I felt
Wow.
freedom.
Wow.
And that freedom was what you call liberating. And that's why, in the depth of Hindu's philosophy, they say the goal of your journey in life is freedom, tetin mukti, liberation. And that is how I felt, liberated, happy. And then I needed more of that. And that made me set discipline to attain more of that. By waking up early in the morning, doing my meditation, and going to caves, going to shrines, doing pilgrimages, and then all the doors opened, and one by one, I started meeting my other gurus, like Guru Iyer, who'd been meditating in a cave. He'd been meditating in a cave for 18 years, drinking one cup of milk a day. Then he left his cave, and now he's back into meditation. 6 years later, he's 6 more years, so it's something like 24 years he's been in meditation, single-pointed meditation. That's one of my gurus, Iyer. Then this is the Raja Swami, who basically every day, 3 times a day, he invokes the beings of light, because his teachings is when these beings of light come to each one of us, the thoughts they give is magnificent. And imagine having Christ within us, giving us each thought. Imagine the power of these thoughts.
Wow.
Now imagine a humanity with all these beings of light actually propelling us towards the highest good. So that was Raja Swami. Then there was this lady sage who was in meditating in a cave for 65 years, and she took me up as a guru,
65 years?
as
Oh,
a
my
son,
goodness. Oh.
inside a cave. And all these beings, all these beings kept waking me up from inside out. And then the next part of my life, I realized, oh my God, why am I here? What am I here to do? And that is, how do I reach consciousness to all of humanity? And that led me to seeing more clearly what needs to be done and my vision. And here I am. here in Los Angeles.
And we're really glad you are. Can I just go back into that just for a moment? Two questions. One is, did you continue to see this teacher? And two, in those moments of going through other deaths that were probably excruciating at times, and getting the common thing, were you able to use the information from past experiences, I suppose, to be liberated? Like, do we need all that information? Do we need to have that kind of information in order to be liberated?
One of the nature of waking up is to wake up to understand two laws, the
Okay.
law of karma
Okay.
and the law of dharma.
Okay.
The law of karma is understanding that, everything we do has an effect,
Okay.
and all the past too has a pattern to it, and that's the law of karma, and the future too holds a pattern to what we are doing now. That's the law of karma. And the law of dharma is understanding not only goodness and doing good, but understanding ourselves to being at the receiving end of grace.
Okay.
So when I went through my death experience, one of the experiences was, oh my God, I suffered this death thanks to this. This was my karma. So I had to go through this death to suffer this. Never again will I ever do it. Never again will I harm another being. Never again will I hurt another being. That was my realization too, and that opened me up to that extreme layers of sensitivity. And the law of dharma through all this process was that there was the goodness guiding me and taking me from one layer to another layer, teaching me, opening doors to masters, opening doors to my own innate wisdom, opening doors of opportunities in different ways. And that was the being in the receiving end of grace and doing only good and understanding every time I did good, just the way I would invoke the masters and all the beings of light to serve me. I would give them that credit, saying, "I'm doing this in your name. This is not me doing it. This is you guys doing it. Me doing goodness, not for any selfish motive other than the states of joy that it gives me to do it." That's the law of dharma. So these two were the dimensions that that came to me in the form of teachings that was to guide me through my journey.
Wow, I mean, it's really. Oh, I also want to ask one other thing about Dharma. I often sort of, maybe this is not enough, but I think of Dharma as kind of our purpose. So, would you say your soul's purpose was to clear a lot of that so you could reach into the world with a much greater consciousness capacity to share, to bring forward?
I agree. I agree with the meaning you've given dharma, and that is to understand a soul's purpose. In other words, doing work from a heart
Yeah, what am I here to
aligns us
do?
to the highest self,
I don't
and that.
claim I'm right. I just claim that's what I kind of thought it was, you know.
It is, but dharma is a very big word. It's
Okay.
a long, it's a very expansive word. I
Okay.
would say dharma is in the form of what you do from your heart. That's one part of what you're meant to be doing from your heart. That's one thing. But then it also means, when you do good, it's like a bank account, a cosmic bank account. And that is like karma and dharma are similar. Karma is what basically gives you the imprints, and dharma can negate karma. In other words, you've done good, and any bad things come, that bad thing can get negated by the good you've done. That's dharma.
Okay.
Right? So when you work with dharma and karma, I would say karma is more of an entanglement. Dharma is more of a liberation.
I often think that the world, the planets, are kind of in a mess. I feel like we're unconsciously en masse living out the same old programs over and over. I kind of think of that as our karmic programming. Can you correct
Yes.
that or help me understand that better?
No, what you say is right. We've come here to resolve our karma so we can then become the angels.
Well,
Angels being
Nandaji, can
the
we do
soul,
it?
the
Can we
spirit,
do it
having
on
the
the Can we do it on the planet at this time?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because the critical mass of consciousness, I feel, has been reached by humanity already.
Okay.
And now consciousness is expanding, multiplying itself. And the evidence of this is when you see these little kids, 10 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old, saying, "Hey, I don't want to eat meat anymore."
Right.
That's because their conscious level has grown to a level of sensitivity. And that sensitivity is now, showing the 100th monkey syndrome, that is, that the critical mass has been received, has been attained, and now consciousness is beginning to multiply itself exponentially without even communication, without any, it's just energy now. And this energy is now working its way from the newer generation coming up as an evidence of the existing, pre-existing empowerment of consciousness or the light of consciousness that has begun to flow.
Ah.
So this is a powerful time we are living in. And in this empowered time, like polarities always is good in many ways because it creates momentum. For instance, on a political situation, we might have a level and a huge layer of ignorance, or I would say a huge level of disparity over there, darkness, you could say. But then it's also on the other side of it, it's waking us all up. It's asking all of us for the meaningfulness of our journey. It's beginning to consolidate us as the we, because the more of us wake up, the more of the oneness there is, and the more of the oneness there is, the we begins to function. The we is that when we have woken up, our identity is lost. Now we are with a cosmic identity. Now we are with all the angelic beings. I would say, masters who've left their body are angelic beings. Now, where there's the light of consciousness, all the angels go around that light of consciousness to serve that light of consciousness. In other words, every angel has the ability to give us the right thoughts to guide us further. So our own soul, now awake, now becomes the hub of the light around which all the beings of light is within.
Now, did I read somewhere in some of the material, you've got quite a rich selection of presentations there, that there are like a lineage of ancient beings that work with us specifically? I know you've said it in a different way right now, talking about the angels, that I'm going, is there not like the gurus, the teachers that you've spoken of, is there not a strong lineage there working with us as well?
When we wake up and understand the vastness of whom we are as a light, then we also understand that there are many, many beings of light wanting to serve us as light. That takes me to a story, like my Guruji Raja Swami, he was telling me this story about him and his guru in the forest. And one thing he noticed in the forest was, in the evening time was, that the deer and all the wild animals will come towards him and sit around them quietly. But what was shocking was when even a tiger came and sat with him, and the other animals were not frightened. They were all quiet and they were all in harmony at that point in time around him. So he asked his guru, he said, "I understand that your harmony, your states of joy and harmony and light is making this happen, but there's something beyond all this. Tell me about that." So that's when his guru, Kagabhujandra Talayatisiddhas, mentioned that when a person is awake, they are a pillar of light. And around the pillar of light, all the angelic beings go round and round. And the angelic beings, once they are in the spirit form, their ascendance cannot happen as much because they need a physical body to do the karma and dharma and ascend and to be in a place where they already are. So they can enhance themselves only and exclusively by serving those who are in flesh and blood. So when a being is awake, all the angelic beings are actually waiting to serve this being. And In this is the knowing that we are not alone, we are the we. Now, in this is the various lineages, the various forms of light, the various lifetimes, pilgrimages that we have taken. Hello?
Hello, I was just sort of cogitating on how you're speaking about it. I go, well, so is it as if, how can I put this? It's as if as we become more conscious, then we literally separate from the need to be subconsciously driven through karmic patterns. Is that right?
It's more like driving a car. Initially, when you drive a car, we have to be a little bit concerned about whether I'm driving right, whether the gear is on, whether, you know, all the driving mechanism. But once you learn the aspect of car driving, then it all comes naturally. It's just the flow. So that's how it is when we are awake, we begin to start aligning ourselves to all the beings of light, including, you know, like, I mean, to us, wherever there's light, we would celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever has a light, we'd want more of it and we would want to be with them. So this is an unconscious but conscious flow, gravitating us more and more towards light.
I just am trying to understand that, and I think what you're helping me understand is once it gets going, you can keep yourself going, and you get help, right?
Absolutely. And I look into this light, I call it consciousness.
Okay.
Because the more of this consciousness you attain, the more this light and this consciousness will teach you how to attain more of that more effectively, more efficiently.
And to spread it, I assume.
Exactly. And when it's with us, it is like, it is just as much like a candle lit that is going to, irrespective of anything else, it's going to throw light on darkness and give light around everywhere. You know, it is like by default, it simply does it by being.
So you think more and more, more and more babies are being born with consciousness or with easier access to consciousness. Is that what you're saying? As society, humans are changing.
I feel that so much. Mm-hmm. In fact, like a while ago, you know, like, I mean, I was reading about the fact that, you know, like the previous generation were all called the indigos.
Right.
And then the recent generation being born are called the crystals.
Right.
And the crystal, the indigo had to really be put through challenges to attain the wisdom. But the crystals have been born with it. They've been born with clarity. They know exactly where to go to get more of that. And this is happening. This is happening so beautifully today across the globe.
It's happening in Russia.
Everywhere.
Really? Okay.
Everywhere, across the globe, because consciousness is collective.
Mm-hmm.
When you say consciousness, then we have to say it relates to humanity.
Okay.
And then the next step is it also relates to all the life force.
Okay.
All the living. But when it goes to humanity, now whatever anyone is doing in goodness is going to work as the ripple energies that spreads around for all of humanity, and likewise the bad things too. So, you know, we as one humanity, as one consciousness, are now on the move, and we could say in spite of or with the polarities along with it. And this particular period is the time, the pivotal point, you could say, like humanity has reached the crossroads. And I am just praying that the we is strong enough to lift us above any ignorance that can come from ignorant leaders. And you know, come to a place where we are the new paradigm. We are the new paradigm, rather, takes precedence and is able to negate the past karma of humans. In other words, I'm hoping that, the we is so strong, it will steer us off any war and anything else that could inflict us.
So being strong enough to negate, as you said, the past karma of humans, boy, that to me is a wonderful. My guides often say love is fierce. Right? And so there's something about what you're saying. I'm going, oh, I think I get it. Like, we can do some real pushing up from the way it has been and how relentless it has felt. Am I right?
Yes, and when we are the one, as oneness expanded, in other words, we have woken up to understand, I am that oneness, that ancient oneness, and when we begin to see that one in everyone, that's love, unconditional love, the highest quality of love, and that's all it takes to enable that energy blessings to flow.
So a lot of
Yes.
questions these days of people that I hear anyway are, if we're being spiritual and if we're focusing on meditation and letting our consciousness grow through us and so on, does that mean we cannot protest or we cannot object to what's going on? You see what I'm saying? Is that a total separation as if we ignore what's going on, or can we say things, or where does it cross over with our spiritual growth?
Awake, we operate from a heart. And when we operate from a heart, we are daring because we see. So we do. Because we do things from our knowing. And we now are willing to do things rather than not do things. We are willing to do things. We are willing to step out of our boundaries to do what we feel is right from the heart. So it's absolutely necessary for us to do what needs be done. And we know we are guided. Guided means guided by a knowing that even if the doing is going to be very challenging, we will still do it because we know. So we, I
Our
could say,
hearts
become
know, right?
effective.
Yeah, wonderful.
Exactly, exactly. And when our hearts know, there is no fear anymore. There's nothing that can deter us.
Wow,
So we do.
and with the Women's March, for example, this is a sort of a more immediate example, but the Women's March was huge, and it was all over the world. And people, I've heard spiritual people say, well, you shouldn't necessarily be protesting, But it's interesting that I've heard without question that that Women's March all over the world was a march of love, that the love was absolutely palpable. So I thought, well, I guess it's the consciousness with which we do those things, right? With which we do protest, with which we do make a statement.
I feel it was one of the most beautiful things I ever witnessed in so far in
Nice.
the West and
Good.
being in and in life. The Women's March to me represents something greater than what we saw. To me, it represents the wake up of the divine feminine. It's the
Yay.
divine feminine that needs to wake up, and this is in everywhere where there is a woman, where there's a mother especially. She needs to have all the powers given to her in all the forms. Because only when the woman wake up, only when the divine feminine wakes up with the woman awakening and with the woman empowerment, is consciousness going to move forward. Because a woman really represents, the mother, you could say, the mother element of creativity, creation, all this represents empathy, love, forgiveness,
Nurturing,
all the good, nurturing, sustenance, all the good things, tolerance, unity, all this are the good things that are there in the awakening, and this is the nature of consciousness. So, with women coming together to wake up, it's a beautiful, most powerful thing. And then is the wake up of the divine feminine within each one of us. Especially for men, guys, the male, is when the divine feminine wakes up within us, we enlighten. we are waking up on several layers because the divine feminine, the feminine side of us actually builds the bridge to our awakening as the spiritual being. Now, when the divine feminine wakes up in the feminine, now humanity rises. A happy, you know, I would always mention that ask anyone in the world who has a happy mother,
mm-hmm.
who is powerful, you know, whom they consider more influential in their life, father or mother, and I would say the mother, if the mother is happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if the mother is not happy, they're going to say the father. And that happiness of a mother, the happiness of a woman is powerful. This is you could say the sign of consciousness in the world now that's happening. It's time for the momentum to move. It's time for change to happen, and the change must be from consciousness. And if you put consciousness, then what is it? What does it mean? I would say first, nonviolence.
Okay.
Second, definitely woman equality, empowerment. And then the third, children need to be nurtured.
Mm-hmm.
Then elders, you know, we need to respect our elders, because only when we do respect our elders can we actually set in the blessings and the energies of harmony in a society.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes, you know, so all this, what I thought was on, for me personally, on a macro level, I thought, if the world has to flip to the next paradigm, it needs to adopt the Declaration of Consciousness.
Hmm.
The Declaration of Consciousness movement, which I'm a founder of, is about what if nations adopted this and threw away religion. Not throw away religion, they keep the religion, but keep the best part of the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part of the religion really is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
In every religion has consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
If, for instance, I, like in the Bible, I thought St. John's words were so beautiful, mm-hmm. so aligned to consciousness. Like this, all religions have a level and layer of consciousness. That's the good part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take the good part of it and put it together, that's the Declaration of Consciousness. And if nations had that, now, where consciousness is, peace naturally is. Where consciousness is not, peace is impossible.
Well, that's so true.
This is a macro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not possible to have peace where a religion preaches violence,
mm-hmm.
where a religion is they still believe in medieval savagery.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is not possible in a society there. Right. But where consciousness is, peace is there so naturally that we understand that this is the paradigm of the future. Of the current, of the now, and the future. And we are the ones who are implementing it as being the we.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We also have to love the earth and all of her
absolutely,
trees
absolutely,
and flowers.
Absolutely.
You're saying, even about the tiger, we have to nurture all life, right?
We know naturally, when our mind has climbed up through different layers, we know naturally that we will not cause harm, and that food is energy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we put inside, food, thoughts, everything we put inside, everything that we take inside ourselves is
mm-hmm.
energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take in good energies, we can only let out good energies.
Mm. Are you a vegetarian?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Were you raised vegetarian? Mm-hmm. Was it hard to become that?
No, I was not. I was not vegetarian. And I, you know, like when I came back from England, I still remember, you know, I couldn't do a meal without having my meat. And then, you know, after the wake up, when I saw the meat on the table, I thought, oh my God, that could have been my own flesh cooked up nicely.
Oh, dear. Well, I think that we start to realize the living, what the living heart-filled commodity of what's lying in front of us, sort of thing, right? It's different,
Yes, but I look into it like this. This is an inner revolution that happens, becoming a vegan and vegetarian and all that. It's like so much an inner revolution. And, no matter what people might try to tell us from outside, there's the right time for it. And the time for that means the moment we would, there's also a time for each one of us to wake up. And at that point in time, see in India, there's as the like the astro the Vedic astrology, for instance. I find that it had been pretty much accurate in the way I've seen it over the many years. And I also no noted one thing, and that is when the good times happens with the astrological alignment, we are more prone to wanting more of light, more of God, more of source. Why I keep saying light, source, and God is because it's very, when you put God, when you say God, it puts everything into one single box. I would rather say put God behind all those boxes. And, if you say infinite, if you say a quest for infinity, a quest for energy, higher energy, it's all the same because it's leading us to the same place.
I think that's absolutely
And
true.
so over here comes the wake up moment for each one of us happening now. So it
So
is.
you believe it's kind of is a little bit pre-planned for us, but we can make changes on pre-planning. Do you believe that we are pre-planned?
We,
I think I'm thinking
the
about
when you
astrology and that sort of thing when I ask that question.
okay. Yeah, I get it. See, I personally don't like astrology at all. I think it's Macbeth. It's like Macbeth. Somebody tells me I'm being robbed off my free will. I'm being robbed off the adventure and the empowerment of what I can do for myself the moment someone tells me my future. So I personally don't like it. I prefer not to see my astrology, and I recommend people not to see it. I look into it from a different perspective. For instance, I do the soul blessing reading, and I say, what is the miracle you already are? And what is the miracle your soul needs to complete itself? And I call that the soul blessing readings. So I'd like to see it from a positive place, from a place where possibilities exist to have everything we want from the soul level, and without constraining ourselves to saying, hey, this is what it is. But what I also see is that if a person wants to step into the good fortune wheel of life, it happens the moment we start taking the quest inward. Because when we start taking the quest inward, we are able to climb up beyond the mind. The mind contains the karmic imprints. The mind contains the memory bank that this makes us react rather than be able to step. Like when we on the mind, we are still on the track of the karmic imprints that creates different forms and different forms of karma. But the moment you step out above the mind, like I call it the mind's rooftop, now we are not using a memory bank anymore. Now we are not reacting. Now we are able to bring to closure past karmic stuff that has been happening. And we are able to transform that limitations into something spectacular, just like Helen Keller.
So what you're saying is if we have like an astrological explanation for ourselves, we might be confined by that rather than just take the moment and evolve ourselves into response for the moment and creating for the moment. Is that right?
Exactly. The power of now does negate karmic imprints.
Great. I like that a lot. I do. Yeah. Because people are stretching and straining. As I said earlier in this discussion, that people feel a real angst wanting to find their own divinity or their own purpose or whatever, and the way you're talking about it, I'm going like it does begin to come to you that there is grace and support, right? And there's help for it. But that's not pre, I don't know what I'm saying here. It's not totally pre-designated. It's not pre-designed, is it?
I would say it's both ways. You do have it like pre-designed. For instance, I'm born in this body with a brown skin, like I was born in South India. All this is like fixed. I was born with it. Okay, that's one part of it. But when I'm operating from beyond the mind, I'm the spirit, and I know I am only in possession of this body. And this body, I might say, belongs to me, but it's going to be taken away very quickly, very soon. It has a shelf life. And now,
That's
and
funny.
this soul and the soul spirit that I am is now able to determine a higher pathway that not only negates my past karma with regard with everything I do, but is also generating the new light and dharma. And I see that when we take our responsibility as the we, in other words, the collectiveness of consciousness, then we also pray for the collective consciousness. So, for instance, this Declaration of Consciousness movement is for all of humanity. And so now when I work on it, I cannot work on it just for myself. I'm working on it on collective human for all of humanity.
Because it's
Because
one, because
only
we're
when
all one.
humanity, exactly. And so, like even this other vision of mine, which is, it was a childhood dream of mine, saving that dream was, what would it take to save the life of every single old cow after we milk it all its lifetime? Instead of it landing in a slaughterhouse, what would it take to save those cows? Not for its milk, but just because it's a life that has served humanity and making sure we can take care of it happily. And over here is if you use the cow dung, the poop of the cow, to compost it, and you can create biodynamic organic land. And if you can create biodynamic organic land with non-GMO food in a large scale and feed the hungry, really feed the hungry in a major way, and if you had 10,000, 20,000 farms or more than that across the globe, we've kicked hunger out of planet Earth. We've also created a new paradigm on food. But more important, we've saved the lives of so many, many, many. Now, that's this component of saving the lives of many, many. And, if you can save the life of an old cow, how about aged humans who need a place to live and who want a community, right? So all this is goodness, but this goodness, I would say, is to be plugged into humanity. So all of humanity gains. All of humanity is propelled by the goodness of this.
I love
So I.
that. Also, people, and myself included, at times in my life will say, "Well, we can't really feed all the hungry because systems will prevent it, or because the markets will." And the way you're talking, I'm going, "And so we just do it anyway, right?"
Yes. And I, through my journey in India, walking through, learning the path of but the path my guru showed me was when you feed the hungry, in America, we don't witness that so much. But, in a country like India, where a person might not have had food for a day, 2 days, 3 days, and when you're feeding the hungry, you know you are feeding your highest self. Your own highest
Wonderful.
self.
Yes, that's so wonderful. We're going to run out of time shortly, and I know people want to know how to reach you, how to get hold of you. Tell us about your books, and tell us also about your mentoring
Yes,
programs.
Divine One. Yes. My book is called Mastery of Consciousness. And when I say mastery of consciousness, we say that we have a mind, and within the mind is what we see. And if we have mastered a consciousness, we can break free of the limits of the body, which basically is in different forms holding us back, as in withhold us back. But if we can break the limits of the body, then comes the breaking the limits of the mind, because all of us have a genius within ourselves. We can wake that up. And all of us have a life purpose, and all of us are angelic beings in reality. And that breaks the mind, the limits of the mind. And circumstances, all circumstances are karmic imprint. How about making, creating opportunities and and transforming our limitations to that of a heart's need. So that's the book, Mastery of Consciousness.
Wonderful. And, sounds wonderful.
And my teaching is essentially, you know, all that I learned, all that I feel that I have connected to is consciousness. Mm-hmm. And this consciousness is transferable. And this is the mentorship program where I could constantly, you know, connect us to our gurus and all their mantras and through the ancient pathways and through the different dimensions of a yoga. Because I look into it like this, every day is an opportunity to be born again.
Wonderful.
Every day is a day to, and every thought holds within it the potency to be the giant, magnificent reality. How do we incubate a mind to deliver that thought that can, that transforms our reality? So that's one. So, you know, and then we have a music which comes from, you know, my gurus. And like, for instance, they calibrated it using kinesiology. And it was set to, based on Dr. David Hawkins' kinesiology chart, where he says anything above, any vibration above 600 heals, anything above 800 enlightened, anything above 1,000 is said to be rare on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And our music was set to have broken the 1,200 limit.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, because these are mantras, and I know that it's my gurus basically having me to reach humanity through mm-hmm. the music, through the mantras, through the resonance, through the light within the resonance.
As so the mantra is a devised sound, like a couple of words or a chant?
Maybe I can give all of us the mantra itself.
I'd okay? love that. I'd love that. Please.
Yes. I'll give you my guru's mantra. This is like our Guru Aya, who is known as 24th year of meditation. And when you go near him, you should not talk to him.
Okay.
He prefers the silence.
Okay.
And you just walk around him saying the mantra and you walk out. But you're told, take the mantra from Aya. If you received it, you and ask Aya for anything that will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this mantra is Arakara. Arakara means manifestation, the sound of manifestation, Arakara. So if God, if for instance, God appears before us and says, ask me for any wish you want, what is the wish really worth asking for, God? It is, hey, God, I want to be you. And that God is consciousness. If you have God, if you have consciousness, you have it all.
Hmm.
So this is the mantra. Okay, I'm going to give the mantra. So, so each one of us, wherever we are, light a lamp, a candle.
Okay,
say this mantra 108 times slowly. Feel it as our own inner fire, our own inner light. Because whatever you do outside, you are manifesting that inside.
Okay.
So when you're lighting a lamp or a candle outside, you're lighting a lamp, a fire inside. And this is the sacred fire of the yogi. Because within the mantra, there's a state of joy. And within that state of joy is the dance. And that dance represents the dance of infinity, being the core of infinity.
Wonderful.
And the whole universe of universes is made of that infinity. And that infinity is God. And that existence is by states of our own joy. That states of our own bliss is the Shiva consciousness waking up. So I'm going to say the mantra very slowly 3 times, okay?
Okay.
Try to write it down if possible or make note of it, because these are mantras that are never given out of this inner circle.
Okay.
And it is now meant for humanity, because all of us need to wake up and connect to our higher self. And the higher self is the light of consciousness, the light of God, the light within each one of us. Okay.
I have my pen out here.
Okay, beautiful. Okay. Aya is father, but you're referring Aya to this guru and his ancient lineage of light. Aya, Siva, it's S-I-V-A. C is spirit, Va is the experience of the spirit of the goddess. Siva. Siva is infinity, Siva is God. Siva is the spirit, the Holy Ghost. Siva. Aya, Siva. Arakara, Arakara. Aya, Siva. Arakara, Arakara. Aya, Siva. Arakara, Arakara. Now, this resonance, how it'll sound in the innermost resonance within ourselves when you're lighting a lamp within ourselves is, take a deep inhale, hold the breath, and go down, 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 down to the roots. And allow that fire to start growing from the roots through the resonance. So a yogi is the one who is connected to Source, God, Infinity in all the breath and every breath, every breath. So when you're breathing, we breathe all the way from the roots, hold the breath, and allow the fire to climb up and up and up. And when it climbs up above the navel, feel the spot above the navel as the mastery. Above the navel is where we are detached. No more attachments. Above the navel is where we've gone beyond the karmic cycles. Above the navel is where the mastery occurs by the opening of the third eye. So bring our consciousness above the navel as you're going to say the mantra.
Okay.
Take a deep inhale, hold the breath. Climb up above the navel, climb up to the heart chakra, climb into the third eye. Imagine, visualize ourselves saying the mantra through the third eye and feel the light within as the grace of the ancient lineage of light being received by each one of us. Rub both the palms together as you're saying the mantra. Feel the left palm as a left breath, as a mother, and her all the cells within our body in gratefulness to our mother. Right palm is the sun energy, the sun breath of the right breath, and the right represents our father. Rub, and the left hand and the right hand also represent the cosmic mother and the cosmic mother. As you're saying the mantra, rub our palms together to receive the grace blessings within the mantra. Rub our palms together. Feel the warmth in our hands, in our palms, and place both the palms over our eyelids and receive the cosmic, infinite light blessings of a higher self to us, the human, in the realities of humanity.
Wow. Unfortunately, our time is up, but I'm going to practice this over and over again. I thank you so
beautiful,
much.
Beautiful, Divine One.
You're a very inspiring being. And for people, you can find him at nandaji.com. Would you like to spell
it? It's nandaji.com.
Okay.
It's Nandi, NANDHI.com. And any of my book, teachings, anything that you wish to attain to help you on your journey through consciousness, it's sensitiveplanet.com. In fact, today has been the day when a new site has been launched,
sensitiveplanet.com. I thank you so much for joining us on Paradigm Shifters, and thank you for being one. And we'll speak again, I hope.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate being with you, Divine Veronica. You know, like beings like you are masters, and you open the doors for so many relating to both the worlds, the world of the mundane to the world of the spirit. And so it is so much my honor to be with you. And thank you for inviting me. Thank you for, you know, allowing the we to flow.
Thank you so much. Many blessings. Thank you.
Grateful. Thank you.